Last week I spoke on closing life chapters because so many people are going through transitions. New job, some are writing matric exams. Some of us must find a new church, a new place to be. Some of us are going to get married. Jan is excited because he's getting married. There's a lot of new things that's happening in and around us, and I just want to tell you it's not unique. And last week I started with closing life's chapters, and I want to continue with it this morning, and I want to look at the Israelites. When the Israelites came from Egypt as slaves, they went to the promised land, not as slaves anymore. And God is a God of the life's chapters. God has your book. God has your book in his hand. Your book's already written. God's the master of your pages. And what's glorious about that is the fact that he would allow you to turn the pages when you're ready. And sometimes he would allow you to turn the pages as he says, and you can turn this page. And that is what God wants to do within your in our hearts and in our lives. And I want to talk about the God of life's chapters and just how to end off one chapter and start with a new chapter. And we're going to go to the book of Joshua, and we're going to read the first verses, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now when you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites, I will give you every place where you set your foot as I have promised Moses. Can we just go to that next slide? Just let me see them. So the first thing that I want to talk about this morning is the fact that God says we must be encouraged about his commission. You see, for some of us that is turning a new page in our book, a new chapter, you must remember what we're seeing here in Scripture. Moses is dead, but God is a God of the now. Yes, Joshua, I know that you're feeling sorry. Yes, Joshua, I know that you're having a lot of pain. But I just want to tell you, I'm a God of the now, and I'm encouraging you with my commission. You must go and take the land. Take it. It's yours. I'm giving it to you. And it's so precious that we can see God as a God of the now, that he speaks now. And if you are going through a transition, if you're getting married, if it's a new job, if it's a new church that you need, just remember that God will commission you. He will speak to you. And that is why you should be careful of presumption. You must hear the command of the Lord, because when you go for that new job, when you go for that lady that you so love, when tough times come, you must know, I've heard from God. She is my wife. You know how many people I talk and tell me that she's not my wife anymore? Then it's like, no, who for under the year? No. He said it was your wife 25 years ago. Why is it not your wife now? And the issue that I'm speaking to is the fact that God will encourage you with a commission. Be strong and courageous. Do what you need to do. Now, isn't that beautiful? Don't you agree with me that God will do that? So the first thing, if you're turning a new chapter, be encouraged by where God send you. If you're matric and you're going to finish matric where God's going to send you, be encouraged by God's commission. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's there for you. In marriage, in your new job, where you go. You see, presumption is when we believe that something is true without having any proof. That is now from God's perspective. And I just want to encourage everybody that's going through a transition that has to turn a new page. When God has spoken into your heart, he'll do that for you. I have about 8 things. I quickly want to run through them. The second thing that I want you to do is to spy out the land. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent 2 spies from Shittim. Go look over the land he especially gave to you. That's Jericho. When we spy out the land, we must get a feel of what's going on there. I always tell people when they have to go to a new town, they have to find a new job, or they're looking to work at a new place, I tell them, go spy out the place. Stay there for a while. Hang out there. Meet the people. Why? Not to see if your job's going to be great. Spy out the land for what God is doing there. You must find out what God is doing there already. Andres has moved from Cape Town now to PWC. So one of the things that you need to do when you get to PWC, yeah, to spy out, just check out everything. What's God already doing here? I must just fit into what God's doing, you know. Jan's moving to Cape Town next year. There's a lot of people going through transition. Ansel is matric. There's a new season for life next year, new studies, new things. Go spy out where you're going next year. Go spy out. Go check out the lens. Just say, God, tell me what you're doing here. I want to see. You see, you don't have to start anything new. You just move into what God is already doing there because you're God's choice, man. You're God's choice. God has chosen you to go to PwC. God has chosen you to go to Cape Town. God has chosen you to do that new thing, and you do it. Because God has spoken, be encouraged. Get a feel of what God is doing there. That's number two. Number three, follow the voice of the Holy Spirit. Let's read. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your position and follow it. Then you will know which way to go. Isn't that beautiful? When you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, you will know which way to go. It's a picture. The ark's there. We walking, the ark represents God's presence and the Holy Spirit. Since you've never been this way before. Some of us have never been this way before. This is the first time that Jan's getting married, man. He's never been that way before. Nieuwe vrouw, nieuwe gewoontes. Daar gaat goed uit sy kas uitspring. Hy het nooit geweet is daar nie, maar het gaat uitspring. Ek sê het nou vir jou. Nou, ek praat eindelijk met hom. But you know what? You've never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 cubits when you and the ark. Why does God say don't go near it? Because the voice of the Holy Spirit, it's sacred, it's holy. You always follow it, you listen to it. It's there. But the distance speak about holiness. Next year is a holy year for you, Ansel. It's holy. It's not just a past matric. It's a holy thing. It's a new season. That child that came into your life, it's a new thing. It's a holy thing. It's a new transition. Have respect. Listen to what I'm saying now. Have respect for what God is doing in your life. It's an awesome holy thing. Have respect for what he's doing in your life. And I say there in my notes, moving on to a new chapter of one's life is always sacred and it's always a holy moment. In Afrikaans, hulle is gekies. It's holy and it's sacred. Dis die darts gooi en Cupid, the Cupid deception. Skiet om, hy is lief vir my. That's a lie. But what we're seeing in so many people's life, it's sacred and it's beautiful. And we must have respect for that. If your business is going through the roof, it's a holy and sacred thing. If your business is going through tough transitions and you must make a few decisions, it's holy and it's sacred. It's all God. You keep your distance from the ark, but you follow the voice of the Holy Spirit. Then number four, consecrate yourselves. Look here, Joshua chapter 3 verse 5. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow the Lord will do an amazing thing amongst you. You belong to God. When you go into a new chapter of your life, can I say this? You don't pray for a great job. You don't pray for a good salary. You pray this prayer, Father, where I am going, who must I get saved and who must I disciple? How should I help to plant a church in that town? And how should I be connected with small group? That's what you pray. Because you belong to God. You consecrate yourself. Everything about me is God's. And this is beautiful. Why do you consecrate yourself? Why do you say, God, I belong to you? Because he's going to do an amazing thing in your life. You see, if you say, God, I belong to you, you will recognize the great thing. But if you go in casually, you won't recognize the great thing that God is doing in your life. When all hell breaks loose, you will say that, God, I'm consecrated, I belong to you. All hell comes against me. Every demon is against me. But God, you're doing a great new thing in my life. God, I can't see it. I don't understand it. I feel lonely. I feel depressed. I'm overworked. But God, you're doing a great thing in my life because I belong to you. A consecrated life. Consecrate yourselves. Isn't that beautiful? Then number 5, Joshua chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe. They had to build memorials. Is these stones that they put down there, and these stones was to remind them, this is what God did in my life. So if you're going from one place to another place, always build a memorial. Say, this is what God did in my life, so that you can go back to it. Write down a testimony. Get something beautiful and spiritual and just make a point of it. In just saying, look, your God, you've taken me from glory to glory and strength to strength, and I just want to remind myself of the goodness. I'm building a memorial, God. You know? And it's something that's powerful within our testimonies, that we will build that memorial so that we can be reminded what God did in the past, but also what God's going to do. Sometimes we must remind ourselves happy. Jy moet jou gelukkig herinner. Sometimes we must just sit down and think, now what has God done for me? If you are not content and thankful for what God has done for you in the past, you will never be thankful now. Ons praat nou van ondankbaarheid, né? Die kos bly te lank, of is te sout, of is te droog. But there's never something that says, God, I'm just thankful for what you did for me and for where I am now. It's like the hymns. We sang the hymn this morning, Heilig, 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 Holy, Holy, Holy. If we can't remember what the fathers wrote about in terms of worship, if we can't have respect for that, then how can we respect this that we have now? And it's something that I have to talk to a lot of people about that is into modern worship. And modern worship is great. There's great worshipers. But I can tell you, if we don't have respect for the guys that wrote songs like Holy, 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 Majesty, worship is majesty. If we don't have respect for what God did there, then how will we have respect for what God's doing now? And we can't miss that. And it's the same principle in your life. God has always been on your side. He's always with you. Build a memorial. Even if you practically have to go to your school and just do something simple there and just write it down. This today I'm ending off this chapter. I'm moving on to a new chapter in my life. A lot of people don't do that. We don't do it. You know why we don't do it. We don't have time, and it's just the new thing. We must go into a new thing, a new song, a new, but we don't remember. And then circumcise your heart. All the men says, amen. It's our hearts. Yes, oor. Stefanig, hy grappie. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again. And after the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained where they were in the camp until they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. Circumcision speaks of a maturity. God is rolling away the reproach. Can you remember that when the Israelites left Egypt, they were slaves? So now God tells them, you're not a slave anymore. Look, they were slaves there for long. And so God says, I'm rolling away that slave mentality. I'm rolling it away from you. You're not a slave. I want you to grow up now. There's a new way of thinking. There's a new way of speaking. And I will deliver you from your ungodly habits. All those habits that came with you when you go on to a new chapter. There's some new stuff that God wants to speak to you about, a new way that he wants you to think about him. He's a glorious God. And then what he says is grow up. And these guys were circumcised. Did you see that they had to stay there until they were healed? It's just a beautiful picture. The enemy knows that they're on the other side of the Jordan. Can you imagine how scared they were? Ali manners besnay. So as if vyand hulle nou moet aanval, hoe gaan hulle beklei? Wytsbeen. Hardloop weg, hardloop weg. Do you see the picture? What God is trying to paint here. They're at the very vulnerable stage. So the enemy can attack them. Die vyand kan nou enige tyd kom. Hulle manne kan nie weg. Jy kan nie beklei as jy besny is nie. And in that place of vulnerability, Christ will bring a healing. But it's a new level of trust. Because when the enemy can come and I'm circumcised, I must trust God that they won't come now. I can just be focused on what God is doing within my heart and I just hear him speak clearly. Oh, isn't that beautiful? God rolled away their reproach. I'm going through it very fast. Then possess your inheritance. The manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites. But that year they ate the produce of Canaan. New providence. Manna het opgehou. Hulle het die hele tyd gekry. Nou stop het. Now you don't get manna anymore. You gotta eat from the land. New levels, new devils. Now you gotta possess what God has given to you. Just flip. The new providence speaks of a new level of stewardship. So where I received manna the whole time, now I must produce. I must work the land. I must plant crops. And the glorious thing about this is when you go to Canaan, you take what God has given you. Scary thought. This doesn't belong to you. It belongs to me. God said so. Out of my way. And it's not that God's speaking about you ruling out of your anger. It's this, you know that God has spoken to me. This is mine. I must take it. I must make it happen. No time for feeling sorry for myself. And then the last one. And the reason why I'm going so fast through this, I just appreciated the worship so much. I just think we should worship some more. You know, just so that God can be God. Encounter Christ in a new way. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or are you for our enemies?" And then this man says, "Neither." He replied, "But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And so Joshua did. Before they take Jericho, this man appears. And Joshua, you look like Joshua was the fighter. Joshua runs up with his sword. He says to him, look here, are you for me or are you against me? Kom ons praat goed die ding uit. And the man says, neither. You see, Joshua is actually speaking to Jesus here. In Old Testament scripture, when Jesus appears to people in the Old Testament, because God was never created. Jesus was never created. He existed in eternity past already. So when Jesus appears to people like this, it's called a theophany. So he's seeing Jesus. Jesus is standing in front of him. Now he wants to fight with Jesus. And then Jesus just says this beautiful thing. I don't choose sides. You better choose that you're on my side. Sal jy nie regte kant is, Buddha? Maar ek kies dit. Jesus says, I'm neither on your side. You choose on which side you want to be. I know what I'm going to do. And so, what this speaks about is worshiping God as the commander with military precision. When you go to a new chapter of your life and God starts speaking to you, Christ wants you to meet him, but you must listen to him with military precision. Because you know what happens here. After this, now just think about this. I want you to think about this. The Israelites has to walk around Jericho for 7 days without saying anything. Now, could you please explain that to me? How's that warfare? 7 days we must walk around Jericho saying nothing. And meanwhile, as you're walking, there's a lot of people on the wall, archers, looking at you. They can kill you. En hulle die olie wat so kook in die potte, maar hulle rol het maar so af teen die mure. En julle sien ons in die flieks, hy groot klippe. All of them are standing there and they are looking at you and you have to walk in silence for 7 days. Now that's military precision when God starts speaking to you in a new way. And he's wanting you to position yourself for conquest. The whole book of Joshua is about conquest, taking what belongs to you. And that is the way that I want us to relate to Christ for the season to come. Christ will walk in so many of our lives. Who's going through a transition now? Just raise your hands. Just be honest. It's a lot of people that's going through transition. It's something that God is just doing right across the body of Christ. It's a fact that we need to understand the times that God is in and the way God speaks. And so if you don't understand that God and Jesus is the Lord of the armies, you'll misinterpret him. Because he's not going to give you manna now. He's going to give you commands. Do this, do that, complete this, complete that. And he needs us to do it with military precision. So if you have to walk around Jericho for 7 days without saying anything, you do it. Hoe loop meer as 2 miljoen mense nou en hulle sê niks? Vir al die tannies wat langs by die coffee shop sit en gesels en gesels, hulle kan niks gesels, hulle moet loop. But I'll tell you, if you've turned that page, Jericho comes down. Then you start taking the city. And can I just tell each and every one of you that's going through transition? And you've heard from God, assuming that you didn't presume, assuming that you're at the right place. If we start at the first point, let's just start there. You didn't presume. You are turning the new page. You are at that new place. Can I just give you a word of advice this morning? There's so many people that's going to be jealous of you. Deal with it. Just deal with the jealousy. Because you're God's choice. People's always jealous of God's choice. Always. It's like you're standing there and you're thinking, oh God, what did I do to deserve this? Can I tell you what you do to deserve that? You were obedient. It comes with obedience to Christ. But I'll tell you, with the Lord next to you, you'll scale cities' walls. You'll run, you'll continue. I'll tell you, through your deepest suffering and your deepest pain, oh, hey, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And you know what my heart is for you this morning? As David says in Psalms 23, my cup runneth over. Is that when your enemy is near you and it feels like they're crushing you, Jesus will do Psalms 23. He'll set a table for you. He'll be your personal waiter. Come sit here. What does Psalms 23 say? He's making a table ready for you in the midst of your enemies. Your vyande sal sien hoe eet jy spek en eiers. But you'll sit there with the Father. Because you understand that I am with the commander of the Lord's armies. It doesn't feel comfortable. Christianity is not a comfortable religion. It's not. It's not. It will never be. You've got to fight. On one level, but on the other level, God is fighting for you. But you know, when you're like Joshua and you meet the command of the Lord's armies, you're face down, you're standing in front of him, you have to take off your sandals, which is another thing. So many of us are going through the burning bush experience. You're standing before that burning bush. You know it's holy time. You know you must take off your shoes. You know it's very uncomfortable. You know it's very difficult, but you have to do it. Do it. It doesn't make sense now. It won't make sense later, but Christ will surely show you where you're going. Do you understand now the scripture that we most quote in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8? Ons quoteer ons altyd daarin. Be strong and very courageous. Just be strong and very courageous. You know, that's not if you're Afrikaner oompie that tries to speak English. Be strong and very courageous, you know. Don't be scared of the government. They can do nothing to us. They won't take our farms. No. But be strong and very courageous. It was meant to be a joke, eh? Julle mag in die huis van die Here lag ook. Ek sien van julle dat julle Sondag laggies. Lag lelik. Christ is not, you know, he's not worried if you have a laugh that sounds like a hyena. He's quite fine with that. You know, we just have to look at ourselves to see that God does have a sense of humor. I mean, you just have to look at ourselves and just the way that we laugh and what we do, then you know God must have a sense of humor. I mean, if my wife looks at me and just the stupid things that I do, then she must say, God, you're truly a genius comedian. Just look at my husband. He's the epitome of laughter. Look at him. I feel so sorry for him, you know. My young, jy sal het ook nog uitvind. You'll be God's joke for your wife. Verma, hoe gaat sy nog vir jou lach? Ga vir jou lekker lach. Vrou van Tienis, ek is al 9 jaar my vrou se grap, but I love it to be a joke. Oh, it's not true. That was just a joke. I really want to commend you. You're still in church, you're still standing, you haven't died yet. You know it was a tough year, but you're still standing. Deep down it's difficult, you can't feel depressed, you're through pain, some of us are very sick, some of us have lost loved ones, divorce, you name it, but you're still standing. You know why? Because you're on the side of the Lord of the armies. He's next to you. He'll comfort you. And if you're with us, I want to say this to you. Maybe you won't find your reward here, but your reward will be in heaven. Don't worry. Maybe you'll lose your earthly inheritance, just like Moses did. Moses lost his earthly inheritance, and God said, you're not going to go to Canaan, but you know what? The man died in splendor. Because Gabriel fought Satan over his body. Now that's a glorious burial. Dit moet 'n mooi begrafnis gewees het. Engel en die duivel beklei oor jou lyfie. Now he's going to come with us to heaven. You can go read it in the book of Jude. But I want to encourage you this morning. It's end of the year. All of us, we are tired. We're thinking about the beach. There's a lot of things that we're thinking about. Thinking, God, but you know what? Can I just say that you're still standing? You're still standing. The farmers, unfortunately, they have to work harder than all of us this time of the year. Their time will come. And then guys like Andre, it's no afsluiting van boekjare, jong. Het gaat woes, die vonke spat, hukke nie. Spoegspat, vonke spat, a lot of stuff, but you're still standing. Have you noticed that you're still standing? Have you noticed through all the stress and all the strain and all the difficult times, you're still standing? Have you noticed what God has been doing in our congregation? God used one of our members to raise somebody from the dead. The fact that God speaks orderly to some of our members. I don't want you to feel jealous about what's happening to them. I want you to glorify what God's doing within our midst. Oh, how He loves us. And that is why I want everybody's cup to run over. I want your cup to run over. New strength to get up every day. And then you fight the fact that other people say you're not God's choice, but you are God's choice. You get up and you be God's choice. We're not human doings. We're human beings. We be. I'm the best me that I can be. And can I tell you something? I want you to look to the people around you. And I want to say this. You've got the best friends right here. The best worship team. This is the best church building that we have right now. It is. If God has better, then He'll give. But for now, it is the best. Beste stoeltjies. Kijk hoe lyk hulle. Beste stoeltjies. This is the best. For now, it is the best. But like David said when he worshipped, the best for me is the fact that God's with us. He raises people from the dead. He speaks to our members. He helps guys to get new businesses. He gives Marley a boyfriend. There's a lot of things that he does. There's a lot of things that he's doing. And we're complaining. You know, we murmur. I want us to stop that. I want us to start with a life of thanksgiving because the commander of the Lord's army is with us. We're going to take Jericho. We're going to take Ai. And in Ai, God made the sun stand still. He can do it again. So I want us to stand and I want us to sing again from our hearts, David. I'm just sensing again this song, Oh, How He Loves Us. I don't know why God is just keep on reminding me about it. Angela, you're going to sing it, but we're going to sing it again. And I want us, our cups to runneth over. And if there's some of you sitting here this morning and you're really thinking, I'm not clicking this thing. I don't understand why everybody, I feel really terrible. Why is everybody so excited? All that I just want to say to you this morning, it's going to get better. You're in a safe place. Christ is with you. He really loves you. He really cares for you. Could the band please come? He really cares for you. And I want you to say this. Please walk away from Christianity that says everything will be fine. If you follow Jesus, a lot of times things will not be fine. Because the enemy hates you. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. But while he's trying to kill you, while he's trying to destroy you, while he's trying to make you depressed, Christ will give you life and life in abundance to overcome. We shall overcome by the word of our mouths and our testimonies and the blood of the Lamb. But then very important, we did not love our lives unto death. Because this is not about us. This is about the cross. the cross that is planted in front of each and every one of us. And not Buddha and not Allah and no Shangoma can ever give you what Christ has did for you. He died for you. If anybody else will die for me like that, without even knowing me, Christ died for us while we were still sinners. If anybody else would do that for me, I'll stop Christianity. But unfortunately, nobody did that for me. Because Christ's blood speaks better than the blood of man. The clarity with which his blood speaks is just his saving grace within our hearts. It changes us forever. You know when he walks into your life and he's giving you that smile and he's giving you that word and you're reading scripture and scripture makes sense and you know this is for me. And then you walk out of that home with all that confidence. And you can face the world, man. You're not scared. You're tired. It's the end of the year. But you're like, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Then God says, start to worship me. Then you start singing. You worship in your mind and you read scripture. And you just hear over and over, he says, he loves you, he loves you, he loves you. But that love is like a consuming fire. Can we stand? I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, the enemy will not be able to tie us down. Because you're the Christ that we follow. We follow you.